be with you again. Thank you for inviting me over. It's always encouraging when you get invited back to a place. And so it's good to be with you this morning. I'm just going to be sharing a few things from John's Gospel this morning and from where we just read in John chapter 1. And I'm going to be finishing in John chapter 2 at the wedding of Cana, where Jesus turned the water into wine. But I've been thinking quite a bit lately of words. And we're living in a world, aren't we, where words are just everywhere, through social media and through phones and all that sort of stuff. People have been bombarded by words. I was walking while driving up my street the other day, and I just saw some young people, I saw some older people, and they were just all looking at their phones and head in phones, not oblivious to what was going on, but just taking in information all the time. And there's a real flow of words. Is this a light here? Oh, no, it doesn't work. Flow of words that come into people. And we're saturated with opinions and thoughts and lots of things, particularly the kids of today. And so it got me thinking about the word. And obviously with the work I do at Good Soil, I have to say, I think a lot of my role is speaking the words of God into people's lives. Because they're listening to lots of negative stuff in their thought processes and dark stuff that isn't true, isn't right, and is crushing people. And you know what, when we talk about the word of God, we're talking about the word that's got power to release people, to bring life and hope. And that's exciting, even in a village like this, isn't it? That we have the word within us that can bring life and hope to people's lives. You know, when we talk about the world, the situation the world's in, the world's getting lost. It is lost. But within you is the presence of God to bring hope into people's lives. Do you believe that? Because we're going to have a little look at that today. And you know, in John 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Now, it's fascinating, isn't it, when we think in the beginning was the Word. That's a description of Jesus, of the Word. The Word which wasn't created, which comes from eternity. Okay? But then he says, all things were made through him. So the Word which is Jesus, from eternity, created all things. And how did he create all things? By words. By speech. That's fascinating, isn't it? When you actually think of that, that's how God created things. He wasn't there making things with his hands. But as he spoke, the design and the creation came through his words. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be, and there was. The design and the outcome comes through his word, which is from eternity. So when we think about God speaking to us, I want us to consider where it's coming from. Because when it comes to us, it comes to us in that power and that authority. So when God speaks to you, the design and the action of it is also there, which is ready to come out. Isn't that just amazing, isn't it? Jesus is outside of time and creation. Unlike the universe, which is physically made by him, you know, that's how Jesus operates. He's the agent of God's action. He speaks acts, and they come. And I just want us to consider that when we talk about the Word of God. We've just been singing some amazing songs, haven't we? He walks with me, he talks with me. We've just been singing that. Do we believe that? Lord, speak to me today that I can bless others with your powerful word, which is from eternity. Well, I'm excited. I think that's really powerful, folks, and we need to we need to think on that, don't we? I've been reading the Proverbs recently. I've just been through the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of talk about wisdom. Wisdom. The opposite of wisdom. Anybody know what the opposite of wisdom is?
Stupidity.
Folly. That's the stupidity of folly. And it actually talks about wisdom as being a person. And in Proverbs 8 it says, "Then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was his daily delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man." You know, it says, "I'm marked out the foundations of the earth. I was there beside him." Wisdom is talking about Jesus. So here we've got words and we've got wisdom. So as believers, as followers of Jesus, the importance of his word and wisdom is paramount to us. And I have to say, lots of the time I do hear a lot of Christian nonsense. Okay? And a lot of the time it's because we're being stupid and folly and not receiving words and wisdom from God. And that's his heart, isn't it? To give us his wisdom and to give us his word. Proverbs 2. Listen to this. It says this. Listen to the ifs here. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding." So if you receive. The next. "Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So if you consider those ifs, if you receive my words, if you call out for insight, if you seek it like silver, is it important to you? Is it important to receive from God his word, his insight? Is it special to you? Or are we on automatic pilot and doing things in our own strength? So it's just been hitting me that the importance of God's word and God's wisdom. Am I looking for that? Am I seeking? Is it important to me? Or am I just speaking my own words, my own opinions? Or am I seeking the word which is outside of, well, it's from eternity. It's the power of God. And, you know, the great lack today in Christianity is we don't know God. That's our great lack today, is we don't know him. And he wants to know us. And we're going to talk a little bit in a minute about our relationship to God. Because he is accessible and available today. And I was thinking of a title, really, for this. And we're going to have a look at the Jesus turning water into wine. And I'm going to suggest there that at that wedding ceremony, Jesus finds a bride. And I thought that might be a bit provocative. And I wanted to explain myself when I go into that. But in that ceremony, we find that Jesus finds a bride. And I'm going to explain myself a little bit later. So just hold on to that thought. But I just want to say, you know, in chapter 1, it says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us." So the word, okay, who's outside of time, didn't come to be because it's from eternity, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Okay? And, if you look in the old text, it talks about he's pitched his tent amongst us. But I want to say today, it's far greater for us today than Jesus being with us. Because not only is he with us, but today we've got the hope that Jesus is within us, which is greater than him being with us. So at this point, you know, it talks about Jesus, John is talking about Jesus being with them. He walked with them. But today, we've got Jesus. If we believe him as our Saviour, we've got him within us. And I just want to have a little look at that. And that's really exciting for us. So I'm just going to read, actually, about the wedding at Canaan. And I'll just read it here. It said, on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called to the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Canaan in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because here, we've got a picture of the Word at a wedding. And we talk about the water being turned into wine. There was an embarrassing time where they were running out of wine, and Jesus stepped in at his mother's request and amazingly turned water into wine. Okay. And this is really quite significant in this, because if you look at John 1, you will see it builds a crescendo up into this point, because on verse 29 it says the next day. So you've got your first day, then on verse 29 it says the next day. Verse 35 it says the next day again. Verse 43 it says the next day again. And then on the chapter 2 it says the third day. So here is the end of a 7-day sequence, which is talking about completion. Talking about completion. And I want to point to you this verse in verse 11. It says this. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Canaan in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. His disciples believed in him. Now in our language, that's not a really great word. Because I could actually say to you, I believe in Satan. Okay? But this isn't saying that. It's not a belief in I know. It's a belief meaning I entrust myself to you. I commit myself to you. So it's more than just our English meaning of the word believe. These disciples had seen this amazing miracle happen in Jesus' provision, and at this point they are committing themselves to Jesus more than just belief. They are entrusting their lives to Jesus. Jesus here finds himself a bride of believers. I commit myself to you, Jesus. I'm entrusting my way to you. This is a wedding ceremony which is all about love. It's a celebration of joy, isn't it? Can you remember your weddings? You know, that's what it was about. And that's what was happening here. These disciples who were a bit of a rabble had seen the glory of God and were committing themselves to him. Don't miss that. And the disciples believed him. Okay? And it was a It was an amazing thing for them to experience. And I want to say to you, do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Are you committed to him? Do you entrust everything to him? Because out of that flows our Christian walk, our relationship with him. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? When I go back to the previous chapter, when he's first calling his disciples, it says, "What are you seeking?" In verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to him, "What are you seeking? What are you looking for?" And they came out with something quite weird. They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they ask him, "Where are you staying, Jesus?" And he said, "Come and you will see." And he's going to go on a journey of discipleship with him, with them. And where he is staying will be, when you go to John chapter 14, "I will abide in you." That's where I'm coming to stay, folks. If you accept me as Lord and Saviour, if you entrust your life to me, my Holy Spirit will come and dwell within you. Now that's exciting, isn't it? That is exciting. And that was the ceremony. You know, in that wedding ceremony, what did Jesus say to the woman? "My hour has not yet come." Wasn't yet ready, but when the cross was going to come, when the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them, Jesus was no longer with them. "I dwell with you." He's going to dwell within. And that's what we've got today, folks. It's something truly amazing that the Word of God, outside of eternity, the wisdom of God, Jesus, his presence dwells within believers. Dwells within us. And, you know, when you talk about the water, what was the significance of the water and the wine? The significance of that was the water was to wash, wasn't it? Ceremonial washing. The wine, what do we do with wine? We drink wine in, don't we? Jesus was showing that the old was going to pass away and the new was going to come. "I'm coming within you. Within you." So I say these things, folks, to encourage us. To encourage us in this world in which we live in, that if we're in relationship, you know, we're called to be in relationship with God, with Jesus. We're called his bride, we're called his children. And God is unceasingly giving and working today. And as his bride, as his children, we should be waiting to receive from him his word, his gifts. And this is the blessed life. Now, Tom was just praying about the difficulties we have. And we do. There's loads of difficulties. But we have the Word of God within us that can meet every single need and situation that you are going through to overcome. Why? Because he's outside of eternity. And he can breathe his word, his life, to you and to me today, to help us deal with every situation you face and I face. Is it easy? No, it's not. But are we going to wait for his word? Do we treasure waiting for his wisdom and word? Or do we move in our own ways? You know, I deal with lots of people who've got drug issues. I've got people in the houses at the moment who take drugs. It's not allowed, just to let you know. But I can see the real heaviness and the darkness and the oppression that comes across people when they do things like that. Because it's not of God. And it's crushing people. It brings depression. It brings oppression. And it wants to take people's lives. Okay? And I'm praying to the Lord, "Lord, give me something I can say and that I can give that takes that rubbish away and brings your life, your goodness, your hope. That's why I believe in the Word of God. Because it overcomes all those things. Light overcomes darkness. Every single time. Lord, may we just be filled with your word, with your wisdom, to bring your words that bring life to our communities, our friends, our colleagues, our family members that don't know you. Because that's within you. Do you treasure it? Do you seek it? Do you wait for it? Because it's truly amazing. And I want to say, it's interesting in this, that this was a wedding. This was a wedding ceremony. Because I want to say to you that God is faithful. He is faithful. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. The problem with the marriage, if we call it that, is I'm unfaithful. To him. And I try and do things in my own strength. But I know he is faithful. And he is good. Lord, forgive me for those times where I've been unfaithful. Forgive me. So that's to be encouraging. I want to encourage you. Because that's the blessed life, to be filled and to be poured out. Filled with his word. You know, and I encourage you to get into the scriptures. I'm just going to give you some challenges and some thoughts on what I've said this morning. I just encourage you to get into your scriptures, because they reveal who Jesus is. Okay? The word of God, this written word here, reveals the living Saviour. Okay? It reveals a person. It reveals Jesus, the word and wisdom to us. And in that, we've got to be careful with our words. We've got to be careful with our words. We've got to learn to be quiet at times, and we've got to learn to speak the words of life. Not your opinions, but God's words. Okay? God's words that come with power. And, you know, it talks in Proverbs about getting wisdom. In Luke 6, it talks about building your house upon a rock. And it talks about digging down, first of all. It takes effort to find the word of God, his wisdom. Dig into it. Dig it. Start digging and seeking the word of God. And another thing, folks, is to forget your... Well, never forget your own poverty and helplessness. And what I mean by that is we need God in every situation. We need his word. We need his wisdom, because we are weak. And the moment we feel as if we're strong, there's a pride issue that comes in. Okay? And it becomes a problem. You know, Peter, when you think of Peter at the Last Supper, you know, where Jesus is about to be crucified, Peter, you'll betray me. No, I won't. He believed in himself, believed in his own strength. And I just want to encourage you to submit to God, humble ourselves, know our weaknesses. It's interesting, the song that Tom just sang, this is "The Air I Breathe." I often think about breathing, and I may have said this to you before, forgive me if I have. I've used this story a few times. I was there at the birth, well I was there at the birth of all my children, but the last one was born in underwater. He was born in the bath. The pool. Okay? And it was fascinating when he was born, because he was there and I saw him underwater. And it's not natural for somebody to be underwater, is it? And you're thinking, he's drowning. but he pulled out. He came out. And the first thing he did was took that intake of air. He breathed in. Okay? Breathed in. Life entered his lungs. There was life. And at the beginning of time, in Genesis, what did God do to man? He breathed in. He breathed in. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living creature. Now, when we talk about breathing, we think of in and out, don't we? We breathe in and we breathe out. We breathe in oxygen, we breathe out carbon monoxide, dioxide. So when God breathed in, it doesn't say anything about him breathing out for us. He breathed in, and then Adam breathed out. Okay? I was 5 years ago, I was there at the death of my father. Okay? I was at his bedside. And I knew he'd gone because he breathed out, and he never breathed in again. But that was his last action of breathing out. To breathe, we have to breathe in and we have to breathe out. That's how we live. And I want to take that to a Christian perspective. All right? Now, if you have you won't survive by breathing in without breathing out. And you won't survive by breathing out and not breathing in. Okay, you can try it right now if you want to, but I trust you believe me. I want to say that in the Christian world as well. Is we need to breathe in what he gives us. Why? Because we need to breathe it out. And that involves other people. Okay? Because you can't do Christianity on your own. We're in a family, we're in a body. And the breathing in may be for somebody else to breathe out. Do you know what? God's given me this. I want to give it to you. And that is a sign of a really healthy person, church, and society. A people who are breathing in, allowing God, give me something that I can breathe out to somebody. Okay? Might be for you sometimes. The reason I say a lot of the times it's for other people is because I don't want us to be drug-induced Christians. And what I mean about that, it's all about self. Because that is such a nonsense. Where people are just talking about, I want God to speak to me for me, nothing else, it's all about me. That's not Christianity. It's about feeding one another and encouraging one another. And I want to encourage you as a church here to breathe in and to breathe out. And you know what? When you do that, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. There's a question I just wanted to ask as well, because this is, I feel quite strongly about this. Are any of you in full-time ministry? Yeah, absolutely. There was that phrase, isn't there, a full-time ministry, whereby people shake their heads and say no. Okay? That those are words that have been spoken over people, which is absolutely garbage. Okay? And the church needs to repent of that. Because every single one of you are in full-time service for Jesus. You're in full-time ministry. Okay? Full-time ministry is whatever you are, mechanic, farmer, teacher. You're in full-time ministry for Jesus. And some of the words that we've heard over the years have been a nonsense. Okay? And not from God. Okay? I just want to breathe that over you today, that all of you are in full-time ministry for the living God. Okay? Receive that today and breathe that out tomorrow. I can even breathe it out today if you want. but breathe it out. And think, Lord, give me something that I can breathe out today. The living word of God. The wisdom of God that brings life in this sad, depressing world that we're living in at the moment. Be spreaders of joy and life through the power and wisdom of God, the Creator God who spoke things into being. Be his voices today. Speak acts of love, of power, in the name of Jesus. Amen.